If you have your Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6. another one of those things of the world that I want you to see. This year our theme is not up here. We're getting ready for missions conference. But, you know, built up in Him. And if I could get you to understand, how many have ever seen a house built or a building built? How many have been out to the new property? How many about the new property? Okay. Well, they got steel up, and you can see the magnificence of the building from Route 28. Now, as you drive by, when they get the steeple on it, it's another, I think, 40, 50 feet tall. You can be able to see it all over. But you look at it, and you say, wow, this is a beautiful building. Well, it's really not. It's under construction. And all of us are under construction. But while under construction, the Lord wants us to shine. And as we grow, He wants us to be more and more like Him. We're not like a building in the sense that we're almost useless until you get it completed. God uses us from the day we get saved. But He wants to change us into the image of Himself, so that when people see you and I, they say, oh, there goes someone like Christ. There's a Christian. And so the world sometimes can get a hold of our hearts with all kinds of different philosophies. Notice, if you would, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse number 2, and verse 1, it says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So He's speaking to people that are servants. This could be one of three ways. Number one, a servant is a doulos. It's someone that is either been bought and paid for as a slave off the slave market, like Joseph was. Now, we don't have that today. And we also don't have the second kind of slave. If you remember the prophet's wife, her prophet had died, and she came to Elisha and said, Elisha, please help me. The creditor has come to take my two sons away, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And so he said, well, go back and get, what do you have in the house? She says, nothing but a cruse of oil. He said, well, go borrow all these kinds of every vessel you can from your neighbors, and then take that cruse of oil and start filling up those, and then take whatever's left and sell it and use what you need. She said, okay. And so it was basically, she retired by the miracle of God. And He poured that into the vessels. And so they were all excited. Well, that's the second kind of bond slave. You don't pay your bills, so they come get your family. Now, we don't do that today. I've got people in my family who've already been bankrupt twice, and they're not even 60 years old yet. And I look at it and I say, Lord, please help me not to be like that. And then help me, Lord, not to be where money matters to me. Lord, that's got to run through your fingers, but Lord, you got to deal with it, and you got to be good with it, but Lord, don't let it get to where it takes great priority in your life. And folks, today, we live in an area where wealth is priority number one. How many of you know what a 401k is? Raise your hand. Let me see your hand. 401k. Okay. Well, that's about everybody in the room. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of places where they don't know what a 401k is. But everybody does here. Because, man, we want a job with a 401k. We want a job with health insurance. We want a job that has, vacation, has this, and it has a PTO and time. I mean, just name it. It's got all kinds of things that we want in that job. And so that's here. People move here to get those jobs. Well, notice, if you would, he says, then there's this third kind of a servant, and that is one that gives himself to serve someone. That could be your employer. You're a servant to your employer because it's a mental thing. I want to do my best for my employer. I want him to make money. I want him to be proud of what I'm doing. I'm going to represent Christ. That's reason, if you look in Colossians, we work hard. Christians should be the hardest workers on the line. Anybody has. There's a Christian. Man, I wish I had 10 more like that. And he's a hard worker. He's always faithful, always diligent. One of the things I noticed about Janet when I would call, we called every day for 2.5 years. I would call every morning at at 7 o'clock my time, which is 6 o'clock her time. And she was already up at 5. And I said, well, that's kind of the girl I'd kind of like to find a little bit more about. I mean, she's up and at 'em. And then, you know, you begin to realize that there's a testimony that you have. Are you timely? So if you'll notice, our services start exactly on time. And part of the reason is 1 minute of each person's time in this room, 80 minutes. You look at it, I just wasted 80 minutes of people's time if I start a minute late. 160 minutes, almost 3 hours of people's time if I start 2 minutes late. So when you begin to value people's times, we're always going to try to start on time. It's not because, you know, we just want to. It's because, Lord, these are your people and their time is valuable. So you begin to value things. What is the order of priority of your values? Christ is first, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. But then you begin to develop a mental attitude of balance. I want to love the Lord with all of my heart. And if you're married, I want to love my wife or my husband with all of my heart. If you have children, I want to love my children. And there's priority. The Lord's first, your family's second. But that doesn't mean, okay, I got married. Well, what would you have thought if I said, okay, I got married, I'm not at church today? Well, you would have thought, well, Pastor, just because you got married, there's no reason not to come to church. Well, yeah, but I want to be a good husband. So I'm going to, I mean, how many ever moved? We got off the plane, went to the Dominican Republic for a week of honeymoon, and then we came back, got off the plane at 9:30 in Little Rock, drove to her place, got in bed about 1 o'clock, packed up and left at 4:30, got up to leave 4:30 and drove 17 hours to get home to be back here last night so we could be here for the youth activity last night, the impact night. And so I was so tired, and we got up, got our trailer back 2 minutes before 11. It was due at 11. They call me at 10:30 and says, where's our trailer? I said, it's coming, 20 minutes, throwing stuff on, trying to get there, pulled up in front of the place. And I got it there, praise the Lord. You know, we took a big sigh of relief. We got back. Well, this morning, you know, I knew exactly where my clothes were. No trouble. Well, she said, she's going through boxes and going through this place. I'm trying to find that necklace. You don't need a necklace. Oh, yeah, no, I got this one. You don't need a sweater. You look fine. No, you know, how many of you ladies, you know, so I got to back up. I realized 5 years ago, Susan went to heaven and the Lord provides Janet, and I'm just so thrilled and excited. But I got to take a little time here. You know, wait a minute. Priority, time, 8 o'clock. I tell you what, once you catch a ride, I got to go to church. That would have not have been a good thing this morning, I don't think, okay? Not the way to start off. And then so, you know, I used to tease Susan all the time. I think Janet is teasable. I think she is. I mean, she's been a pastor's wife for 40 years. Let me tell you, I want to tell you this. Her husband was a trip. I loved Rick. But he had no filter. I mean, when I say that, he'd get up and preach. He traveled all over and preached all over. And she told me, she said, well, there was a time whenever people ask, I see you flying in all the time, but I don't see your wife. And he says, oh, I said, she weighs over 300 pounds, so she doesn't like to travel a lot. And so then she traveled with him one time and came with him. And when she walked in, the lady went, my goodness, you've lost weight. That kind of thing. Well, that was him. You know, he was a fun guy to be around. Well, the Lord takes him to heaven. And so now I'm trying to get adjusted, you know, because I want, my goal in life has changed in the sense that I want the Lord first. That has not changed. So you get up in the morning and you have your time with the Lord. You spend time with the Lord. And then I want to be a good husband. I want to be a great pastor. I want to be a great servant of the Lord. Lord, help me. What can I do? So it's a mindset. This balance is there. But something that the old devil does is he tries to feed us philosophies that are wrong, but that look right. And the only way you can figure them out is if you check it with Scripture and say, that doesn't match. This book is your saving grace if you're God's child and if you want to be like the Lord. So just because you make a lot of money doesn't mean squat to me. Just because you come to church, well, I like that. It's a good indicator. But what kind of a servant are you to the Lord, to your mate, to your boss, to children? It's a mindset. So notice, if you would, let's go down through here. Let's go to skip to verse 2. And they that have believing masters. So it said there are some people that work for unsaved people. How many of you work for an unsaved person? Let me see your hand. Okay. Well, you know, he's talking to us right here. Here's a philosophy. Notice what he says. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. Don't look down on your boss because he's unsaved. Well, he's got a filthy mouth. He doesn't understand. I don't really like him. Don't despise him. Don't think down. Katakrino. Don't think down about that person because they're unsaved. Notice what he says. let them not despise them because they are brethren. Now he's speaking about people that are saved here, but notice this, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So when he says, if you have a believing master, then don't take advantage of them like, well, okay, I'm going to think down of him. He's a pastor. He's a Christian. He won't mind if I'm a little late. He won't mind if I don't get my work done on time, somebody else come up at home. He'll understand. He's a Christian. And we take advantage of those Christian graces. He says, look, don't do that. He said, that may be what the world out there is teaching. But he says, notice, these things teach and exhort. Teach the right thing. And that is, you think up about your boss if he's a Christian. You work. You just work as hard for him as you would for your unsaved boss. And so notice what, if you would, in verse 3, and if any teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, wholesome words are clean and healthy words. They're words that increase your health spiritually. So notice what he says. He said, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when Jesus said something like on at the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you pay special attention to that. But also now, because the word of God is becoming complete, pay attention to what God said there. Now notice what he says. He says in verse number 3, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, there's a certain teaching that's according to that which makes us God-like. Now what is it? Now what's this? He said, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that's great. But notice this. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. He said, now these are brethren. These are people that are saved, but they're teaching things that are not according to Scripture. They're not according to that which makes you God-like. And so if you notice, we're not going to take a look at all these, but notice if you would, evil surmisings. Now this word is a word, hupneuo. It's to think under. It's to always undermine somebody. You're always undermining them. Your evil surmising, oh, he didn't mean that. He meant this. He didn't really mean he loves you. He just says that. But your boss, he didn't really mean he cares about you. He's just saying that because he has to. He's always evil surmising, always thinking under somebody, trying to take out the foundation of your trust in them. Well, then notice, if you would, then he gets down to verse number 6. He said, from such withdraw thyself in verse 5. But verse 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So the world teaches in verse number 5 that gain is godliness. If you've got money, the Lord's blessed you. If you've got money, well, God is blessing you. Listen, folks. If you work hard and you're diligent and you have a good spirit, you're going to make money. Because Every employer is looking for someone that shows up on time, works hard, has a good attitude, and they're going to go up the ladder. That's just the principles of God. But you don't let those, that hard work and that diligence, I mean, if you've got a boss, you try to please him. You try to do your best. You try to think, what would he want? What would the Lord Jesus want me to, how would my attitude be toward my boss? He's asked me to do too many things. What would my attitude, what should I be? Well, maybe I'll go sit down and talk with him, tell him I'll do anything you want me to do, and I'll try to get all these things done, but I'm just a little bit overwhelmed. I want to get it all done right. That's the right attitude. Then it's up to your boss to say, well, you know, let me see if I can take something away or do this or do that, rather than going complaining and my boss is this and that. And so you're evil surmising about, well, he's probably going to give me another thing. In other words, you're thinking about things that he would probably do when he really has no thought about it. And so you'll notice he says, but if you work hard, you're going to make money. You're going to have gain. If you show up on time and if you manage your money well, you're going to have gain. It's just going to happen. Well, notice if you would, but godliness with contentment is great gain. He said the false teaching is that gain is godliness. It's not. There are a lot of wealthy people that are filthy. There are a lot of church members that have got money that have no spiritual heart, really. Oh, they're saved, but they just come and they give their money, but they think they're doing God a service almost. There's no love in it. Well, notice if you would, in verse 7, he says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. So he said, look at things the right way. The priority is not gain. The priority is not money. And so you'll notice he says, verse 10, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So you begin to want things. This covetousness, this covetous heart makes us where we can't think straight. And so we begin to look at it and say, well, God's really blessed them. Look at the neighborhood they live in. Or God's really blessed them. Look at the car they're driving or whatever. And we begin to be jealous in our heart. It's that root that causes us to have an evil mindset of all kinds of things. And so if you take a step back, what balance do I need in my life? What are things that make me be a diamond that's complete? How many of you would purchase a diamond that is polished on one side beautifully and the other side is just unfinished stone? Nobody would do that because it's not attractive. It does not show the master cutter, the master jeweler that's cutting it. It doesn't show beauty because one side is all you can look at. You say, why didn't he finish? There's a lot of Christians that you might say, why didn't they finish growing? Well, we're not finished until the Lord takes us home. But I think the polish gets better. The cuts are made as we begin to grow in the Lord. You've got an attitude of laziness. Well, that's got to be cut out and polished up to where now I'm on time, but I want to be on time because I want to be a good employee. Now there's a little polish to that. Now I want to be on time and I want to be a good employee, but I want the Lord to be proud of me. Now that facet is shining the glory of God. But all of us have to realize that all of us have all these balls to juggle spiritually, and only the Holy Spirit can help us do them to where we become a diamond that God says, that brings me glory. And it's a person that's balanced. And you might say, well, how can you get all these things done that God wants us to do? Well, the Spirit of God gives us a sense of trust that we say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but would you help me? And the Lord takes away the fears. And the peace that passes all understanding comes. That's a facet. There's a lot of people that are great at a lot of things, but they worry about all the stuff in the world. What about this? What about that? You know what? You're just a rough stone. It's not cut off yet. You're not letting it be polished. Keep in mind, I need to get attitude, temper, my temper. I got to get that cut off, okay? And then, so the polish starts when my temper goes from a gruff person to a much sweeter person. We just try to remove that temper so I'm polished. But then the why I'm doing it, why am I changing my attitude from anger and bitterness to I want to be sweeter. well, now I'm starting to, the Holy Spirit's starting to shave off and my stone is becoming prettier. But how can I keep a joyful spirit regularly now? And how can I take it to the last level for Christ's sake? Now that's when the polish is complete. And so I don't think any Christian is ever completely shaved, faceted, and polishing perfectly. But we can get really close to where only the master jeweler can look into the heart and say, yeah, there's a good thing. There's a couple things there that needs to get done. You know, the quality of a diamond is only visible to a jeweler for the most part. Now, as it gets worse and worse and worse, it's visible to everybody, just like a Christian. But there's a very rare few that you find that are perfect diamonds and they're perfectly polished. They're perfectly cut. But those people bring glory to God like Paul, no matter where. Like Peter, no matter when. But you notice that did not happen till the end of their lives. Remember, Peter goes from denying the Lord and running for his life and cursing and swearing to the end of his life saying, oh, don't crucify me like him. I'm not worthy. Crucify me upside down. You see, the diamonds changed. It's the same stone. But he got saved. But he allowed the Holy Spirit to work in his life and all these facets begin to change in his life. You see where he still had, you know, you've got Paul, where you still got Paul with some rough edges whenever he and Barnabas and Marcus left and Paul and Barnabas got crossways of each other and the contention was so strong between them, they parted ways. We don't want that. But that can only happen if there's some unfinished trimming and polishing. The facets aren't complete yet. But what happens is, if you have this angry temper, it can affect all your facets. If you have a laziness, it can affect all your facets. And so what we want to do is say, Lord, show me. Now, here's a philosophy. I want you to get this. We'll run out of time. But notice, if you would, in verse number nine, the six is the philosophy. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, contentment is when you're satisfied. And you can only be satisfied in the Spirit of God. That's the only way you can be. You'll never be satisfied with your car unless the Spirit of God makes you satisfied with it. You can never be satisfied with your house or your husband or your wife or your children even unless the Holy Spirit of God lets you be satisfied. Now watch what he says. He said in verse 8, he said, number one principle about being sad, about being content is that you're not going to take anything with you. So you don't need it. Number two, he says, and having food and raiment, we do need those two things. Let us therewith be content. So he's trying to teach us how to be content. And the philosophy is change your mindset. Don't listen to the devil saying gain is godliness. If you got money, you're godly. No. He said, you got to change that. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Because in contentment, you realize that God gave you this. And you don't need anything but what God's given you. So the first thing your mind says, okay, I'm not going to take it to heaven with me. So it's of no value. When Janet was moving, I said, you know, sweetie, you do not have to bring everything that you own. She said, okay. So she went out and bought some clear totes, you know, clear things or totes, and put little markers on them. This goes in this room. This goes in that room. I didn't know I had so many rooms until she got started packing. I started unpacking those things. I said, where's that room? Where's this room? And we got all in a 6x12 trailer. Now, it weighed 3 tons, but it was all in there, okay? Got it all done. And yet I looked at it and I said, you know, she said, I don't need this. And I don't need that. And I don't need this. And you know, one of the good things about Susan and I building 8 houses is each house, we got rid of stuff. Do we need that, honey? No, we don't need that. Let's get rid of that. Okay? So, Janet is older, and like me, we don't have children. We don't have this and that. So, you know, she came out, Jeremy came out yesterday, and they were helping us unpack, and there was a pack in play. Jeremy says, what do you need that for? Why don't you bring that? I said, I asked the same question. He said, you know what it was? Missionaries. Maybe I'd like to have a missionary stay with us, or a speaker staying with us. You know, maybe Dr. Sister would like to stay with us. You know, I said, well, no packing play for that. He said, yeah, he's 88. Well, yeah, but missionaries, you know, have somebody come over, or maybe, you know, maybe Micah gets married in a few years and has children, and you might have like a packing play. Okay, all right. But they probably will still sell them in 20 years, but we'll keep it. Okay, we got it. So you start packing up stuff. What I'm trying to say is that as you begin to get older, you begin to realize if you're going to have the right attitude, I can't take that heaven with me. So what difference does the car you drive make? Oh, it's a pleasure. But he says, first thing you got to remember, you're not taking it with you. At Don Jackson's funeral, there will be no U-Haul trailer behind the hearse. What you came with is what you're going with. So don't let stuff become too important. Well, sure, there are thinking memories and pictures and things like that. But don't let stuff become something. I gotta have that. I gotta have that. Notice, if you would, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, most of us have got more food and clothes than we need. Janet, I was so thankful she said she didn't like to shop. That was a great blessing. Great blessing. But it was a lie. I'm just telling you what. She doesn't love to shop, but I could tell by all the clothes I brought in. I said, how long in the closet do you need? I don't know. Well, you know, you begin to see the closet, the rods of length and this and that. And I said, wow. And she came this morning and said, which one of these do you think I should wear? Well, you know what? It's okay as long as those things don't get to our heart. I got to have this. I got to have that. The Lord is saying, you'll never be content. And now notice what he says. And then he says, verse number nine, he says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare. If you always say, I want to have more than I need, that's rich. Solomon said, Lord, you know, in the Proverbs, he said, don't feed me with food that's not convenient. Lord, just give me what's convenient, what I need. Now, Solomon didn't listen to his own advice. But you can see here in this passage, he says, they that will be rich fall in temptation and snare. And then you'll notice, if you would, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The desire for having more than you need, having a little extra, having an abundance. Now, riches we seem to think if I can get my bills paid and have a little bit in the bank, I'll be comfortable. Contentment is, I've got the food and clothing, and Lord, I'll trust the rest to you. If you can ever get there, you can get rid of this next verse, the love of money, verse 10. And then notice, if you would, in the middle of verse 10, they have erred from the faith. Now, they're still saved, but they've erred from the faith. They've erred from the idea that my faith is supposed to make me like Christ. My faith in Christ, my trust in Christ, my love for Christ, my devotion to Christ is going to make me like Christ. I've got some rough edges. Folks, every one of us in this room ought to be on our knees every day saying, Lord, help me to get of whatever rough edges that you want me to. And Lord, if I don't see it, will you show it to me? Because I want to be like you. The best husbands in the world be in this room with a case. And the best wives. And the best employees. If you just followed that principle. I got to have the right priorities. And I got to have the right reasons. Now notice, and if we would, very quickly we'll close. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God. Okay? Now look, every one of you that are saved. Okay, you now flee these things. Run from them. Now watch, I love the oxymoron here. Run from these things, but notice, follow after righteousness. So he says, turn your back on the things that are covetousness, and I gotta have that car, and I gotta have this, and I want that, and then I'd be happy. Run from that with all your might and follow after righteousness. Notice, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Did you know? Not one of those things can you put in a box. And not one of those things can you go to Walmart and buy. They're gifts of God. for the person that says, I want to be balanced in my life. I don't want there to be one thing. Why do we have a mirror? Somebody tell me, ladies, men, why do you have a, how many of you have a mirror in your bathroom? First off, how many of you don't have a bathroom? Okay, everybody here's got one. How many of you don't have a mirror? Let me see your hand. Okay, do you see that? Everybody in this room's got a mirror. Why? Tell me why. John?
Make adjustments.
Oh, that was very mature. Why? That's great. To make adjustments. To make sure I make my hair right here. To make sure my teeth are clean. To make sure, you know, my tie's straight. Well, the Lord said in James, look, the mirror of the Word of God, if you continue therein every day, it'll make you like Christ. But if you don't pay attention to the mirror, the Holy Spirit will not show you yourself and the areas of the diamond of your life that need to be polished or chipped or cut. And that process is not easy. We're going to look at that a little bit more in this main service. But today, I plead with you. Our new building is about this. What this building was when we rebuilt this building, remodeled this one. It's about a place where people can come and be challenged to say, I've got to be more like Christ. What is it I can do? I want to see people saved. I want to see people saved. You know, I want to see more people saved in our church. I feel like, you know, the old devil has just got people busy running here and running there. We're going out on visitation, but I want to see the blessing of God and people being one to Christ. I love the Dills when they both got saved in our church. And I loved... And I start naming people, I'll leave people out. But people have gotten saved in our church and grown in the Lord. I love to see that. But not just that, I love to see the people that are here to be more like Christ. Today, be balanced. Have the goal, I want to be a perfect diamond for the Lord. No flaws. I can get there, may have some polishing needs to be done, but I'll trust the Lord for that. Father, will you bless us today? Lord, help us to avoid the philosophy of the world, and especially the one about gain as godliness. Lord, bless today. In your name I pray. Amen.